Well, let me invite you, if you have your Bibles this morning, to turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want us to see a verse this morning as our jumping off point for the message. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I would invite your attention to verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse number 15. The Bible says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I want you to pay close attention to that phrase there in verse 15 that says, "Be ready always to give an answer." But not just always ready to give an answer, but always ready to give an answer to every man. And not just on any subject, not just on any topic, not just on the weather or that day's stock report or that sports report or whatever the case may be, but to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Without giving us a full overview of this entire chapter, just very simply, in layman's terms this morning, when this verse here speaks of the hope that is in you, that is referring to an address to Christians, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven is their home. And we have this admonition, this encouragement from the Apostle Peter that we ought to always be ready to give an answer of that hope that is in us. It says here, "But sanctify." That simply means to acknowledge. Acknowledge God as holy from the center of one's being. And you go back there, notice if you would, verse 14. Or let's begin at verse number 11. Or no, let's begin at verse number 10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil," that means avoid evil, stay away from evil, "and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." And then verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God." So we see here the thought from verse 14, where it closes verse 14, "Suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." You notice the colon there. Verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." So in other words, acknowledge him as holy from the center of your being, and to do so in both persecution and suffering. And then Peter goes on, he says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I don't know about you this morning, but to me that's a very amazing verse. That's a very helpful verse. It's a very encouraging verse. Because what that tells me is that we are to be always ready to be a witness for Christ, whether times are good or whether we are going through trials or tribulations and heartaches and sorrows, or as the verse in verse 14 says, in persecutions and sufferings. We should always be led to always be ready to give an answer, to always be ready to give a frank defense of our hope. And that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come into our hearts and saved us from our soul or from our sin. And this morning, I want to ask you the question, do you know how to be ready? Do you know, if someone were to come up to you this morning and say, tell me about this change I see in you. Tell me about this hope I see in you. Tell me about this Jesus that you're always talking about. Hopefully you're always talking about him. Tell me more about him. Tell me how I can be saved. How I can know that I'm going to heaven. And so that's my question this morning for our message this morning. Are you ready to give an answer? And how can we be ready to give an answer? Well, I want to show us a simple way that we can always be ready to share our faith. Go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And this morning I want to share with us a very simple method in witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a very simple method in sharing our faith. In fact, start at Romans chapter 1, if we could. Romans chapter 1. Because if we're ever going to share our faith, there's one thing first we need to get over. Romans chapter 1 there, and notice if you would. Verse 14. This, of course, the Apostle Paul speaking. And the Apostle Paul here says, in verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as is in me, is I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. My question for us this morning, are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you, and I'm not talking about preparing a sermon, preparing a Bible study, and standing behind a pulpit such as this. That's not always what preaching is talking about. But are you ready to share your faith with somebody that is lost and dying and on their way to hell? Verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we see here, if we're ever going to share our faith, number one, we have to be ready. But then secondly, we have to be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ this morning has saved our soul. We ought not to be ashamed of that. We ought not to be ashamed of him. We ought not to be ashamed. Listen, you know, you come out, you go to church, guess what? You know, You know, you shouldn't tuck your Bible and hide it, and sneak out before the sun ever rises, so you can make sure your neighbors don't see that you're going to church or whatever the case may be. No, we ought not to be ashamed of what Christ has done for us. We need to be ready, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. This is what saves people. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This morning there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to God the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we get to heaven. That's the only way someone gets saved. So how do we share our faith? What's a good method? Well, I want to give it to us this morning. Romans chapter 3. And it's very simply called the Romans Road. You say, well, what is the Romans Road? Well, the Romans Road, simply put, shows the path to heaven. It uses points from the book of Romans here in the Bible to explain God's gift of salvation. And at each stop, we learn something new about why we need salvation, about how God has provided salvation for us, and then how we receive this salvation that God has provided for us. And as we journey through Romans this morning, you're going to see 6 points regarding salvation and how you can share these 6 points with somebody that may ask you, well, how can I be saved? How can I know, how can I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Now, you need to remember that the book of Romans was written to people just like you and me. The people in the book of Romans, they were a very busy people. They were people living in a very busy culture. They were a people who they were trying to make sense of what is true and what is most important in life. And I believe this morning we live in a very similar day and age. We're a very busy people. We're a very busy culture. You go to sleep at night and your dreams are now occupied with, well, what do I have to do tomorrow? That's how busy we are. And for, you know, there's some that they don't even sleep. You know, they just kind of, you know, That's who I was thinking of, actually. And they don't sleep. They just keep going like the Energizer Bunny. And listen, great if you can do it. I can't do that. Even if I want to, I can't do that. I need my sleep. I need my beauty rest. And that's asking a lot of God to make this thing beautiful. Let me tell you. But we're busy people. And we're people who we're trying to have a sense of, well, what is true and, what is the most important thing in life? And the Romans Road describes for us this morning the only way to heaven. So this morning I want you to study it, to learn it, to follow it. Be ready always to give an answer. And the very first point we see this morning is simple. And that is everybody needs salvation. Everybody needs salvation. Romans chapter 3. And verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just as when we teach that for God so loved the world. Well, who's in the world? Everybody's in the world. Well, here in Romans 3:23, when it says, for all have sinned, what does that word all mean? It means everybody. It just doesn't mean a select few. It just doesn't mean, well, this side of the church didn't sin. They're more righteous than this side of the church. No, that's not what it means. It means everybody has sinned. They've come short of the glory of God. They've fallen short of the standard set by God. And everybody is in the same boat. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then not only that, we see not only does everybody need salvation, but we see, secondly, Jesus died for our salvation. Jesus died for our salvation. Notice there, if you would, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw who we were, and he died for us anyway. He saw who we were, and he left the glories of heaven. The Bible talks about how he would throw off his heavenly deity, how he would leave his heavenly self behind. He would come to this earth born in a manger, as a babe in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in human flesh. He would grow up. He would go through the same trials we would go through. He would be tempted in all like manner, just like we were. He knew what it was like to be both fully God, but also fully man. You say there, you know, sometimes we're tempted to say, nobody knows what I'm going through. That's hogwash, because the Lord Jesus Christ became man, and he knows what it's like to go through what it is you and I go through. And he would live 33 and a half sinless years. The last 3 and a half would be his public ministry. He would then go before a kangaroo court against Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate would say, I find no fault with this man. And the crowd still cried, crucify him. And Pilate did what? He washed his hands of the situation. And the crowd chanted, give us who? Barabbas. They wanted Barabbas, the murderer, the thief, over the sinless Son of God. And he would be led through streets. He would be beaten. He would be tortured. He would have a Roman cross strapped to his back, led through the streets. He would be mocked and ridiculed and shamed. He would go, the Bible says, to the place of the skull, Golgotha, Calvary. It was there that he would suffer. He would bleed. He would die. It said that he was thirsty. They gave him vinegar mixed with gall. They gambled for his clothes, the crown of thorns. Well, it was basically, for lack of better terms, it was implanted into his head. Listen, sometime one year, and we don't do Good Friday around here. We don't believe in Good Friday, because there's no way you can get 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. You know, if you know math, that just can't happen. And so he could not have been crucified on a Friday and spent three whole days and three whole nights in the grave. It's just not possible. But one year we had a Good Friday service at our church in Philly. And because it was a predominantly Roman Catholic area, and people who had never necessarily stepped foot into a Baptist church would come for a Good Friday service. And one year we had a pastor who was also a medical doctor. And he came in and he gave an account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ from a medical doctor's perspective, from a medical doctor's point of view. And now listen, if you really want to understand and know what the Lord Jesus Christ went through on that cross, look up a medical doctor's report sometime on what it would have done to the human body. And we talk about, you know, he endured more than any human could possibly begin to imagine. That's because that's true. You know, medically speaking, he should not have survived as long as he survived. But yet he did. Why? Because it was all part of God's redemptive plan for the ages. It was all part of God's redemptive plan to save you and to save me. And there he was hanging on that cross. And while he was hanging on that cross, he looks among the people and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then before he gave up the ghost, he said, what? It is finished. He wasn't saying he was finished, but that God's redemptive work was finished. And then at that moment, the veil was ripped in two, and the separation between God and man was ripped in two. Now there was no more separation because Christ died for our sins. He went to a cross for you and for me, even knowing who we were. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for our salvation this morning. And we see that brings us to number three, that salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, when you go to work and Friday comes or Thursday comes, depending on when your payday is, and you wake up on that Friday or that Thursday or whatever day of the week you get paid, and you open your bank account, you expect to see your paycheck there, or when if by chance you still get a paper check. Anybody still get a paper check? Anybody? Well, you don't. Maybe some of you don't get a check at all, and but you know, no. Most of the time now, it's direct deposited, right? And it's there in your account. You expect your check to be there for that week of work you put in, and if it's not there, somebody's going to hear about it at work when you go in. And I was watching last night. Anybody ever hear of Gordon Ramsay, the chef Gordon Ramsay? Well, I was watching one of his reality shows last night on the hotels. And there's another show out there, Hotel Impossible, that we like to watch. And he goes into the hotels and sees what's wrong with them and tries and fix them and so on. And by the way, never watch one of those shows if you're going on vacation and going to stay at a hotel, you know, anytime soon, because they show you things that you don't even think about looking for. And so he goes in, and he was at this one hotel last night in Newtown, Pennsylvania, and just about 30 minutes outside of Philly. And the staff reported that some of them had not gotten paid in about 5 weeks. No paycheck in 5 weeks. Now, I don't know about you, but if I didn't get paid in 5 weeks, I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd be that loyal to that hotel. I'd say, hey, listen, you're about a day behind. And what's that? What?
Illegal.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, you know, it's like five. But think about that. 5 weeks. Now, listen, the bills don't stop. Groceries still have to be purchased. The car still gets oil that needs to be changed and gas that needs to be put in and everything else that needs to go along with life. That still goes on. And here we see the wages, the payment of sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation's a gift this morning. There's nothing that we have to do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Listen, you can come to church all your life, and if you never accept the gift of salvation, you'll die in your sins and go to hell. Because, listen... It's as cliche and as old as time itself. But, you know, my pastor used to say it, and now I say it. Coming into a church doesn't make you any more a Christian than stepping into a garage makes you a car. You can go and stand in the garage and say, well, I should be turning into a car anytime now. You are not a transformer. You're not going to turn into a car as much as you may want to. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you have to do is reach out and accept it. It's like for your birthday, you get a gift. If you then get turned around and say, well, now that gift was $49.95 plus tax. I'm going to need that by the end of the week. Well, then that's not a gift. You had to pay for it. Same thing true for Christmas or holiday or whatever the case may be. A gift is just that. It's a gift. You reach out and you take it and you accept it. Salvation is a gift. Then fourthly this morning, we see that we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. Notice if you would Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And notice there, if you would, verse number 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And so here we see Paul is saying, well, you're either saved by grace or you're saved by works. And if you're saved by grace, then it's not works that you're saved by. But if you're saved by works, then it's not grace. But it can't be both grace and works. We're saved only by one. And we're saved by grace. I once heard it put this way. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's exactly this morning what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's how this morning we are saved. Again, nothing we can do to save ourselves. Come to church all we want, won't save us. Be baptized, won't save us. Partake of the Lord's Supper, won't save us. Give to the offering, won't save us. Give to the benevolence offering, won't save us. Be part of the missions month, won't save us. Come to church on Easter, won't save you. Come to church on Christmas, won't save you. Nothing you do that is considered a work will save you. We're saved by grace. Why? Christ himself has already done all the heavy lifting when he died on the cross for you and for me. And then fifthly this morning, we see that salvation comes through faith. Salvation comes through faith. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And notice there, if you would, verse number 5. The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we see here this morning that when we believe in him, it's through faith. Why? Because we can't see him, but you know, just like the wind, we know that he's there. Salvation comes through faith. And then sixth and finally this morning, God saves all who call upon him. Just this morning, like all have sinned, all can be saved. All can trust Christ as their Savior. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're here this morning, you're a whosoever. If you're here this morning, there's an old hymn we sing, whosoever surely meaneth me. And this morning, if you're here this morning, you're whosoever. And if you call upon the name of him this morning, if you don't know that you're saved and you call on his name, then he will forgive you of your sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He freely forgives. He welcomes everybody to forgive. You say, then what are we as Christians supposed to do with this? Well, notice their final verse, Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." This morning, if you are saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are no longer married to this world, but you are now married to him. You are now married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And being married to him, we must produce fruit. We must produce souls. We must share our faith and be a witness for him. You say, "I'm a pastor, I share my faith and nobody ever gets it." Listen, you're forgetting your job then. Your job isn't to save him. You can't save him. Only he can save him. But he's called you to be a light. He's called you to be a sharer. He's called you to be a witness for him. And, you know, I think that's where we sometimes get messed up. Because if we are like God, we love people. Especially those that are close to us, our friends, our family, and we want them saved. At least I think we should want them saved, shouldn't we? We should want them in heaven with us one day. And we witness to them, we share our faith with them. And yet they reject it. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want anything to do with it. And we think, okay, where have I failed? Why can't I save them or see him saved or whatever the case may be? And listen, you've done your part. You've shared your faith. Go over, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel. Final portion of scripture. Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 this morning. Ezekiel chapter 3, and notice there, if you would, verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Or let's begin verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word in my mouth and give them warning from me." See, this is what God has made us. to those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made us a watchman. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And so here's what God's saying. He's saying, I've said to the wicked, thou shalt surely die. That's what I've said. But you as the watchman, I've given you the responsibility to warn them. And if you don't warn them, then they will die in their iniquity. That word iniquity means sin. They will die in their sin, and his blood will I require at thine hand. I wonder this morning, how many people have we had the opportunity to witness to? And I'm just as guilty of it as the next person. And we've let fear and Satan and fear of, well, what am I going to say? And they won't listen. They won't hear. And instead of being a witness, we just kind of kept our mouth shut. Well, here the Bible says, his blood will I require at thine hand. I wonder this morning, how much blood do we have on our hands? But verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, he shall die in his sin, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And so God says here, well, if you've done the warning, then you've done your part. Thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse number 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. So we're dealing with two different people here, aren't we? We're dealing with those who aren't saved, and we have to warn them. But then we're also dealing with Christians. Listen, you see a Christian not living the way they're supposed to be, and you know they're not living the way they're supposed to be, then God says, guess what? You better tell them that they ought not to be doing what they're doing. You say, but Pastor, they don't listen. The Bible doesn't say anything about if they listen or not. The Bible just says to warn them. And that's our responsibility, is to warn them. Look, if you would, Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. And we'll begin there at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse number 1. The Bible says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. Oh, if we'd have more Christians like that. That we know that there is a lost and dying world. And you know what? We won't hold our peace. We'll tell people how to be saved. I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Go down verse number 6. Isaiah 62 verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You know, the best compliment you can ever get is someone who tells you, man, you never shut up about God. Well, praise the Lord for it. Anyone ever been told that, by the way? You never shut up. Well, good. You never shut up. Guess what? Let that be your testimony. Let that be like what the verse says here. I won't hold my peace. I won't keep my mouth shut. I will not rest. Why? There are people that need to know Christ. There are people that need to know the Lord. And folks, this morning the Bible says that there are two roads in life. One is the way to eternal joy in heaven. And the other leads to eternal punishment in hell. The question is this morning, which road are you on? I hope this morning those that are here, that you're on the road to heaven. You're on your road to eternal joy. But maybe this morning you're not on that road to heaven. You're on that road to hell. Well, then simply follow the Romans road today to salvation. You know, you think about it, you ever see the Wizard of Oz? Follow the yellow brick road to the wizard, right? Well, this morning you need Christ. Follow the Romans road to Christ. Follow the Romans road to salvation. See this morning that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin, but that you must choose to accept his provision. Understand this morning that you cannot earn your way to heaven through good works or religious activity. And then turn to God and put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Which road this morning are you traveling? For your friends, your family, which road are they traveling? And are you ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you? I hope you'll be ready this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.